You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Thursday, November 16th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report.
And congratulations again on your latest potties for your podcast awards.
We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, guess who?
Who?
Star of film and stage and screen and...
In the 1990s. Is my mic not on?
Your mic's not on.
Well, it wouldn't be.
I don't hear a
it
mic.
It wouldn't be the show if this was working.
Right.
It wouldn't be the show.
Janine Garofalo will be here with us, theoretically.
Hi. This.
No, that's not hers. Oh,
I know.
She was talking into mine.
I know.
It's not Victor. Well, he was victorious.
Also on the program today.
Hello?
Do you have stammer
Well, it's not material ready. I mean,
it'll just happen. It'll be spontaneous. But totally spontaneous, totally unprompted.
Also on the program today.
I can project. I was in the theater briefly.
Okay, one second. Let me just do the headlines.
I'm sorry.
Just grab a different cord, and we'll just run that cord. Or also on the program today, the tax bill to pass in the House. Republican senators pretend it won't in the Senate. More accusers.
What? Say it again. Say that
Matt,
again.
Grab a different XLR cable.
More
accusers as Hannity returns home. Also, Dodd-Frank nearly unwound the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau under threat. FCC to deliver Sinclair Media a wonderful gift today. The Interior Department rolls back Obama regulations, which now allow the imports of elephants and lion trophies from Africa. What are you doing?
It's distracting. Do people see and hear what's going on right now?
People can see you. They can't hear you.
That is a special
$1,000 membership
Please.
Level.
He's losing his patience, son.
Just hook up another cable here. What else could it be? You think it's the microphone?
Hello?
That's.
Am I not plugged in? Is that possible? Well, this...
Talk. There you go.
Hello.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
And right in the nick of time.
Oh my goodness. It's working.
I was about to blow.
Bible Museum opens in D.C. and Al Franken accused of groping. All this and more technical difficulties.
I don't believe that.
The program today, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't believe that about Al Franken. I don't.
Out of the gate swinging.
I feel, honestly, I feel like there's that just doesn't seem right to me at It just doesn't.
Well, I think regardless where you're coming down on it, it's definitely not right.
No, what I'm saying is as I said, for many, many years I've known him. And now, granted, I've known many of the people accused of sexual indiscretion, and none of whom have been inappropriate with me, which is more a testament to my asexuality and lack of appeal, I'm assuming, to them. I'm not being self-deprecating. I'm just being pragmatic, because I haven't got one story about any of these people, like any of the laundry list you could name. I'm like, Weinstein gave me a sweater once. That's true. He gave me a sweater.
The only person that you don't personally know who has been accused of sexual harassment over the past is Roy Moore.
Roy Moore's the only one. But I bet you also he wouldn't have.
But you guys were, you probably weren't, let's see, were you 16 or 15?
No, you weren't young enough.
I probably was years ago.
Can you come clean, though? Because I think there is one person that I know you've dealt with that I've heard maybe did harass you.
Who?
Bill O'Reilly never went at you?
Oh, no. Yeah. Not sexual harassment, but bullying. Right. Just bullying. That's just harassment.
General
harassment.
Terrible.
That's just
human
garden
being-ness.
Variety. Right. A person with who is a Fox type person. Like Brian Kilmeade was even worse. But that's just because they're
Brian Kilmeade
on Fox. Oh my God, it was like meeting the high school bully again. That was one of the most shocking, worst experiences. I had no idea Fox and Friends was as horrible as it was, and I was sort of tricked to going on it. This is way back when during the Bush era. And the first thing Brian Kilmeade said, even though we were allegedly going to discuss MoveOn.org, was, boy, Saddam Hussein must love you. That was the first thing he said, and then it was off to the races from there.
I remember O'Reilly had said, too, prior to that, he would eat his hat or something.
I would crawl across knives or cut glass and present Lynn Cheney with a rose if they found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and if it was a legit thing. And then, of course, it wasn't. And I said, I would apologize. And he kept asking for an apology way into the debacle.
Did Saddam Hussein give you that line personally? Or was that through email?
Which one?
The Lynn Cheney line. I'm just kidding.
No. I think he was in his hidey hole at that point.
Oh, he was already in his
hidey hole. But no, the Lynch, it's just because it seemed so absurd, the invasion of Iraq, so transparent that it was nonsense, that I felt comfortable saying I would crawl across, cut glass to give Lynn Cheney a rose. But still, as you know, with right wingers, they double down. And the more they're wrong, they double down on their things. So that's why he kept asking for me to apologize, come on the show and apologize for how well Iraq was
so
going.
Janine, give me one moment to least set up the show. Today, of course, is our fairly annual. We don't do it every year, but mostly. I think last year you couldn't do it. You were in Canada or something.
Last year? Or, no, wasn't I doing American Summer Series 2?
Yes,
too?
That's probably what it was. But this is our
on Netflix.
Somewhat annual. Going home for Thanksgiving, it's a little bit early, but, you're a busy person.
I'm not busy. It's just I definitely knew I could come in this morning, so I figured I better grab it in case of saying, I think I can the other days and then not being able to.
Is that really
so,
what happened?
Yeah.
What were you going to do next week?
Oh, well, there's actually some voiceover stuff I was doing, so I didn't know when that
Fair
would
enough.
Be.
Are you doing a movie or something like that?
I am going to be doing a movie, but it's not starting. It doesn't start till the 27th. That's in Austin.
All right. Fair enough. So here we are. We will be taking your phone calls, not yours. You'll be...
No, I don't need to call. I can just tell you.
You
right
can be right here.
Just right here.
We're going to be taking our audience's phone calls. We're going to be taking IMs and talking about some of the news stories. And we've got some audio clips, too, to talk about. But this Franken thing, I mean, you've already addressed it. We should just tell people the accusation comes from a reporter... Or I guess a talk radio show host from, I'm not sure where she's from. But I guess it really doesn't matter.
She's
because
from
she
L.A.
Was,
for what,
she was KABC, and her name is Leanne Tweeden. In 06, back when we were at Air America, Franken was taking these USO trips. He went on this USO tour, according to... tweet, and she was also on it. They had a sketch together where apparently it involved him kissing her, and she says that prior to going on that he insisted that they practice it, and so he did the line leading up to the kiss, she writes, and then he came at me, put his hand on the back of my head, mashed his lips against mine, and aggressively stuck his tongue in my mouth. I immediately pushed him away, and I walked away. She felt disgusted and violated. And then the tour wrapped on Christmas Eve. We began the 36-hour trip home to L.A. After 2 weeks of grueling traveling and performing, I was exhausted. When our C-17 plane took off from Afghanistan, I fell asleep, even though I was still wearing my flak vest and Kevlar helmet. Wasn't until I was back in the U.S. looking through the CD of photos we were given by the photographer that I saw this one, which is of Franken. It's unclear whether or not he's actually touching her. I'm not saying that makes a difference.
No, actually, he is not. His hands are...
He's like...
he's miming
I'm grabbing her breasts.
That thing. And I just, you know, I can't... I can't... I just can't... I can't... I I can't.
It's hard to process.
It's hard to process that, and I feel like there are, if you're doing a comedy sketch, whatever, I don't know. I feel like, as we were discussing before the show started, this is indicative of, I think, all these things coming out about people. It's because of a lack of control a lot of us feel about what's going on in government, politically, that we can't seem to control all this horrible stuff that's happening every time, you know, that's coming from the top down. But this can be addressed. So I feel like more and more people are trying to address this as a way to take control back.
I think that's true. That doesn't in any way make what has been done.
Oh no, no,
better.
I'm not trying to. But I think that's true. What I'm saying is as these things, there's certainly no shortage of these. You know, just keeps coming more and more and more. And I would say a lot of it has to do with how frustrated and angry people are by what is going on in their government. It's almost like life is happening to them and they're getting battered by it. And then these are things that can be addressed. On the other hand, I also think mainstream media is guilty of going after the easier story. It's easier for them to go after these stories than it is to do what Amy Goodman is doing. If you watch Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, in 15 to 20 minutes, you will get more news than you will get watching an entire evening of mainstream or corporate,
potentially
cable
the Majority
news.
Report.
And the Majority Report. Yeah, but what I'm saying is 15 to 20 minutes of Amy Goodman will give you what is really going on in the world, domestically, internationally, news, stuff that isn't being addressed all the time, that's easy to forget that's going on.
Well, I mean, I think she covered,
she
I would
will cover
she
these
covered
things
Weinstein,
too, but she will right. also cover
right.
news. In addition to that news, and in the same way I was saying, like, oh, thank God we got Frank Underwood. Thank goodness that fictional president will not be making any more decisions that negatively impact our lives. It's one, you know what I mean? It's, okay, Kevin Spacey, House of Cards. So it takes 24 hours to make a decision to get this done, right? Why, Robert Mueller, will it ever be enough? Will there ever be enough? Have you ever seen a show called The First 48? On A&E?
No.
It's a show wherein real detectives solve a crime, usually within 48 hours.
Right,
all they have
if you don't
is
do
a,
it in the first 48, then it's very
right,
difficult.
Then the chances. Yeah. So all they have is a carcass and a nickname of somebody who may or may not have been in the area. Right. That's usually all they've got to go on. And they get it done in 48 hours. They do the legwork. How is it?
Just it's like, where's the closest well, black guy?
Like every, no, it's not that. It's not that. It's a real show. It's not a fake reality show. It's a real crime series. In addition to that, it's like The Departed or The Sopranos, where they're just at cork boards with more photos saying they need more wiretapping and more informants, and they're never quite
well. The standard
never
of,
quite
the
getting
standard
enough.
Of proof is different, but I think
you
got to
be kidding me. If you don't see the standard of proof with this administration, which they knew even before the miscarriage of justice that was the election, that Mitch McConnell helped quash the information they had. And that's why Elaine Chao is working where she's working. It is ridiculous to me. Whereas all it takes is somebody to accuse somebody in this field of sexual harassment or misconduct, done deal.
I don't think it just takes
what
one
What I'm saying
person,
is that the
though.
News is all over it. And they are not giving the benefit of the doubt. Whereas you still have people saying about Donald Trump and Jared Kushner, et cetera, et cetera. Was it collusion? Is it the alleged thing, the dossier, this, that, whatever it is? Come on.
Wait a second. But there are different, first of all, there's obviously different standards of proof for different situations. And it's not like these, you know, it's one thing with one accusation. Right now, if there was the absence of a photo, I don't know you'd see as much people taking the Franken thing seriously, because generally there's a pattern of these things, and who knows? Maybe we're going to see in the coming days stories, because when these type of things happen, usually there's
Sam,
multiple
reporters.
Here's
my point, though, and this is going to what I'm saying is these things should be addressed. I'm not trying to sweep them under the rug. But I wish that more of them would be addressed at the time by the people doing it and not in the public sphere. There are people, you know, like I said, the New York Times has called me a few times and I refuse to speak to them because I don't trust. Well, we just need guidance so we can do the right thing. What they're doing is they want names of other comics and more things. And
right.
Dumb stuff like that. And the thing is I don't have any of these stories to tell a person. And if I did, I wouldn't go to the New York Times. I would deal with it with that person if that was possible. Now, again, I am not undercutting the veracity of what people, the accusers, are saying of the accused. What I'm saying is this is two things: distraction from stories that are so that really do impact your life, all of us, very negatively. And B, it's because people feel lack of control and anger at the government. And this is something they can do.
Donald Trump had 20 women make accusations to this effect.
So that didn't seem to change anything.
Well,
you know what
part
I mean?
Of it is a function of who is supporting them in any given context. You know, like if there's a lot more sensitivity to this amongst 6/10 of the population.
Reasonably, well, yeah,
than
of
the
course,
other 4/10.
The base of Donald Trump's base, as they call it, and it is base. And when they're characterized as decent, hardworking Americans, it makes me want to flip my wig. I'm not wearing a wig.
But
it's a saying from before you kids were born over there, the young people. Flip your wig. Yeah, they used to say it. That and keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking was a big one, too. That was a very big one when we were...
You still say keep on trucking.
I do.
I don't even remember what I was... Oh, decent, hardworking Americans. They are not. They are not. Trump people are not decent anything. They are unrestrained id. And the buyer's remorse, day late, dollar short. And only the only buyer's remorse that maybe some of them feel is possibly
today.
That something didn't go their way that wasn't cruel enough or something like that.
Still,
but I have no sympathy whatsoever for the type of person that supports Donald Trump. If you can't see, and also I would say for the Republican Party, for the most part, for the last 40 years, it shows poor character to support the Republican Party. And this is, I could say, from Watergate forward, certainly. Gate, it's a suffix that you know. It's attached to all
these
scandals.
Guys are very familiar with the gate.
Right,
thing.
Gate. It was just a building, you kids. It was just a building.
Frankengate.
It's all gate. It was just a building.
It was just a building.
The plumbers broke into.
You gotta name it something.
Well, I guess. Well,
you
thank
know,
God they didn't break into the Marriott Courtyard extended stay, or we'd be just talking about this for
this
the rest
is,
of our lives.
This is a courtyard.
How come Iran Contra didn't get a gate attached?
It did.
I think because it actually it did a little bit, but it's because there was two words in front of. That's why haircut gate also didn't have legs.
What
you can't
that?
Have the alleged thing where John Edwards.
Oh yeah,
Got an expensive haircut.
You know who
Coulter
put that
alleged
up? You know who put that up?
John Edwards is probably going to emerge as the only non-sexual harasser in the game. He did all of his stuff consensually.
The Obama stuff. Well, we don't know that, but presumably,
I think that's interesting.
But just we're talking so much about it. You know what I mean? Like we are talking presumably. So much about this when you should be talking about me. When there's like I said with Amy Goodman, you forget about the. So much other stuff that's going on all around that because if you just dip into the majority of even podcasts now and good shows, you
Thank
don't
you.
Get enough of what's going on around the world and domestically.
Do you really think that's mutually exclusive, though? I mean,
but it has become mutually exclusive. What I'm saying is it has dominated the narratives of so much media and people's public conversations. You can overhear people talking about it far more than they talk about, I think, other things.
It's easier
I think it's all part of the same struggle. And this is something that I felt caught often between both sides of it, because I think people on the left and the right don't take this stuff seriously.
That's a sweeping generalization, I would say. And I'm not above sweeping generalizations, but I think people take these things very seriously if they want to, if they feel like it's useful to them to take it seriously. Now, I would say on the left and in the center, for the most part, because people are more reasonable on the left and the center, and that's not a sweeping generalization, that's a scientific fact, they are more sensitive in general to politeness and gender roles and LGBT, all of it, because they're more reasonable. But I would say, yes, it's part of the same struggle, but it also can overwhelm the other struggle. Do you know what I mean? It can displace the other struggle.
But do you think right now, I mean, look, it has definitely dominated the news for the past several weeks. But I think there's also been a big part of it is also because of this race in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a lot of implications in terms of, let's say, the tax deal, and which has a lot of implications in terms of hundreds of billions of dollars of cuts that people are going to be subjected to. And,
but don't forget also, as we speak, Donald Trump is like filling the judiciary with judges.
Well, yes.
And things are going on in Yemen.
The
and there's things, you know, the earthquake.
Yes. And without a doubt. And you don't see. But listen, the mainstream media is never going to report on the famine on Yemen and Yemen until it's too late. And that's just that is the way it's always been.
But that's
in
my point.
In terms
it
of
also
the judges,
can take our eyes off that, too. It can take people who would be plugged into that more off it too.
I don't know. I mean, I think we've been I mean, we may not have spent as much time broadly on all of these stories as some other outlets, but certainly we've talked about Yemen. Hold on for one second. we've talked about Yemen. We've talked about the judges, but you know, there's only and I'm very sensitive to it about the judges, for instance. But you know, you deliver that story once that they're ramming in judges, and there's really no further developments other than they keep installing judges who are not qualified.
Maybe there's more to discuss because maybe the once you mention it, somebody didn't hear it. You know what I mean? Or it bears mentioning.
I mention it
and
often,
but also, once you mention about a story of somebody being accused of being inappropriate, you mention it how many times?
Well,
how many times are you going to mention it?
I mean, every time there's a new accuser of Roy Moore, I think we might.
Roy Moore, yes. And I feel like when people are in positions of power, and you could put Al Franken in this category too, although, again, I am so reticent to believe that he behaved immoderately outside of the what he thought was comedically funny. That's more of a taste issue. But again, you're not supporting women, blah, blah, blah. I just feel like once you accuse somebody, I hate to bring Kafka into it, but it becomes, you're done. Nothing is more powerful than a fixed idea. You just bring this up. And yet what doesn't stick is these things about the judiciary and the famine in Yemen. You know what I mean? It's so strange.
I do not agree. Like, as someone
speak about Yemen. This is the third time he's tried to Yemen.
I know. Well, right here, right now, Yemen is being silenced as an important issue. No, but I mean, I think the other thing that also plays into this very specifically, because I do a lot of Middle East stuff, right? And anytime you just even look at the metrics, and this influences all of us, even if we're trying not to have it, nobody clicks on a Yemen video.
But you can't nobody say nobody. Has, you can't say
well, a
nobody.
Couple hundred
but
people
it
relative
it,
to 20,000
right,
people.
But it doesn't mean it isn't important
is a, oh, it's,
to
I think
discuss.
It's. I think if I was going to put a numeric value on it, I think what's happening in Yemen, and this is a silly way to talk about things in some ways, I think it's arguably, it is one of the most important things happening
it's
in the world.
It's potentially one of the worst famines in the world.
It already is. It's totally grotesque, and it has major implications for the future of our world. But people, and I think that this is where, you know, just the clicks and the market incentives influence
us as
well.
You know what, then I think that maybe the photos of children starving, that grabs people's attention. You know what I mean? If you have a heart at all.
We'll see.
When you see children suffering from famine, that tends to grab
people's
attention.
But you know what the other trick with that is then, Janine, though, is that when we do that, then like things get decontextualized. Like, you know, everybody can look back and say, okay, this is horrible. How do we stop it, right? So you go back to 80s Ethiopia. Those famine photos were used effectively to leverage attention, but the actual solutions that people provided didn't actually end up helping
right,
those people.
I
right?
understand that, but it
so it's always a harder story to tell.
You don't
yeah.
keep
you should
talking
try.
About it.
Yes,
but there's
we
also
should, we,
there's,
people should be talking about these things and solutions and just being somehow moved toward action by it more than we talk about.
Yes, but Janine, it doesn't matter
stuff.
If we say if we talk about it and nobody watches it. Or listens to it, and we can measure these things down to the person, then, I mean, I can tell
but
you.
But isn't that the excuse that mainstream media uses? And
I mean, I
they always say,
we do
want.
It, we do it, but I'm not saying that's not a reason for us not to do it. I'm saying that is why you see people talk about the other things, because that's, unfortunately, for better or for worse, people are more interested in those other topics, and it's we can test the premise of whether or not if you give it to them, they will react to it. And we can test that, and we can see that. Now, you know, with that said, I mean, I think at the very least here, we do that stuff. But I think there's also a very strong argument that when you that what's going on with men and being basically outed and held to account mm-hmm. for the sexual harassment is hugely important, because it is slowly, very slowly, hopefully, changing our culture so that going forward, because if you were
but
on some level, like this is a pretty persistent problem and a durable mm-hmm. problem. And
it has been one since the dawn of time, that predator and prey and males harassing females, that I am not downplaying that. And I, like I said, it's important to address these things. What I think can happen is the media can get carried away with like, oh, this is trending. This is easier than doing my real job.
That's always all of the problem. But I wouldn't say this is not a real job. I mean, I think that, like, you know, tracking down these stories, I think is important. Because...
But also, how about talking about Germany? What's going on in Germany? It's just strange to me. And like I said, you over here on the subway or on the street, the majority of people discussing and not even taking it seriously in a titillating way. Oh, so and so was accused. Who's next? Like it's like a joke to them.
Well, maybe.
Agree. This stuff can be salacious in the media, and people can react to it the wrong way. But as someone who's been trying to get people to care about this shit for years and years, and oftentimes was doing it when nobody did give a shit and nobody backed me up.
When did nobody give a shit? When was it that nobody gave a shit?
A lot of times. I don't think it's possible for people to care too much about women's agency and humanity.
I didn't say it was. And I'm not trying to downplay it. And also, there's always been people who've cared about these things. Always.
Yeah. Well,
it may seem like it doesn't.
I think what she
said is
nobody.
I'm speaking on a societal level. Yeah.
Right. And there's always been people in society fighting from Seneca Falls straight on through, you know what I mean? First, second wave, third wave feminists, people at lawsuits, workers' rights, from unions to women's rights, which are human rights, civil rights. There's always been people fighting the good fight. Always. Always. And what is happening now, like I said, is I think an offshoot of the sense of helplessness people feel with the Trump administration.
I think that's one of the fortunate things that have come out of it is that there mm-hmm. people are holding men to account.
Yes, hopefully. And hopefully we'll get some traction on the Roy Moore thing. And hopefully Donald Trump himself, who was never held to account for this stuff.
I think that's that ship is... I think
hopefully not
something
everybody's
else.
Held to account.
I mean, I think there's
Richard Crenna.
A right way to report on this stuff and a wrong way, certainly. Mm-hmm. And I like to think that we're doing an okay job.
Oh, I think you guys are the worst.
All right.
Did I not make that clear? Did I not make that clear, Sick?
Let's break this up with a video.
Boo!
This is right now in Washington, D.C., there is a trial going on for... seven members of, and there's more coming, but these seven are being tried. They're from the J20 protesting Trump. In fact, two of them are reporters. One of them is actually being charged based upon their laughing and supposedly cheering as someone smashed a window, and they were videotaping it. They were videotaping it as a reporter. They are looking at literally decades in prison under a felony conspiracy charge. People can Google for this. I know there's a site where they could use on a GoFundMe. So there's which is sort of fascinating in a way, because we hear a lot more about Donald Trump, crapping on CNN in regards to what really is a legitimate antitrust issue. But we don't hear too much about this that's going on in Washington. There's another round of people who are going to go on trial, I think, in a month. They're in misdemeanors, but they're still also looking at a lot of jail time for protesting. Meanwhile, there's this woman in Texas. She is driving around in a Dodge Ram truck with a decal on the back of her truck. That apparently
is fantastic.
Has upset the local sheriff, because apparently She's driving around. And I
but
don't.
Wait, I mean, that's really to the point. That's I agree 100%.
She's basically summarizing the whole point that you've made the first 20 minutes.
And also saying, and I agree with the second part most especially. You for dragging us. You put a flaming tire around our necks. And that's how I feel about it.
Let's hear the report.
They necklaced us metaphorically.
Now to the top viewed story on our website today. Click to your
stop. There you go.
A driver put on the blast by the Fort Bend County Sheriff for this anti-Trump decal, using the most vulgar word in our language.
Is that
twice.
The most
this
vulgar
decal
one?
Debate
twice.
Has escalated in the past few hours with thousands of you weighing
decal
in on the sheriff's decision to post the picture.
Now, we got the driver's initial reaction in our newscast at 6 o'clock, and tonight we're hearing more about why she thinks it shouldn't be that big of a deal. She spoke with our Sophia Beausoleil, who joins us live with more. Sophia?
Well, the driver and her husband tell me they do not plan on taking the decal down, and they say putting their opinion on the back of their truck is not against the law.
It's a truck decal that's hard to miss.
I think it's crazy the way it's all brought to attention after it's been here for almost 11 months on there.
The back of Karen Fonseca and her husband's truck window states in big, bold letters the F word towards President Trump and to those who voted for him.
Yes!
My husband, he put it on there, but me and him support that. We both went together to get it enlarged and put it on.
Fort Bend County Sheriff Troy Nails put a picture of Karen's truck on Facebook in an effort to find her. He stated, quote, a prosecutor has informed us she would accept disorderly conduct charges regarding it, but I feel we could come to an agreement regarding a modification to it.
I mean, look, y'all don't know me. Y'all found me. He could have done that. At the same time, I feel it is an invasion of privacy and everything else because putting me on his Facebook page is a blast.
The sheriff says he's received complaints about the language, which is why he posted the picture.
I don't believe
pause it for 1 second. Yeah, wait a second. Now, if he's received all these complaints about it, why didn't somebody like say the license plate number is this? My understanding is that the sheriff of a county should have the ability to look up a license plate, right?
Yeah, that's what she says. Of course, he.
This is public shaming.
He did it on purpose. Also, how many people are checking his Facebook page?
To paraphrase Tupac, though, if you want to be down with Trump, then fuck you as a staff record label and as a motherfucking crew. Yeah. I like that a lot.
See, exactly, but it can't fit on the bumper sticker as easily.
And right. Well, no, I know. Let's let the video go. It's still pretty good.
Why he posted the picture.
I want to reach out to the owner of the truck and just say, hey, listen, the last thing we need to do is see anyone have any type of confrontation over the language
of
the
truck. Well, then it's a good thing you didn't gin this up.
I drive it all the time on a daily basis.
When's his harassment story come?
I'm not fearful at all. There's too much positive, and it makes people smile. They honk their horn. They give their thumbs up. There is some negativity. I won't say that, because we're a diversified community.
Yes, we have idiots here,
yeah,
too.
Diversity. There's always going to be people that have brain atrophy and frontal lobe issues. But that guy deliberately did that, or he's a terrible sheriff. How do I do
horrible
this?
Sheriff.
How do I find someone?
Now, is there any doubt that if that was on the back of, let's say, like a Volvo, that somebody wouldn't have had like their windows smashed in? But because it's on the back of a pickup truck, people are like, well, right. At least it's
but
on
also,
a pickup truck.
If it was Clinton, if it said that, the sheriff wouldn't have done anything.
Of course
he
not.
Would not have had a problem with it. And also, there's far more vulgar words.
They wouldn't have said
of.
A single word.
Yeah, nobody in Texas was driving around with anything inflammatory about Hillary Clinton.
No kidding. I
right?
know.
I'm sure there was no bumper stickers.
The shirts for sale at the RNC.
We're
really
just
not
insane.
To mention the CPAC stuff. Have you seen the merch at CPAC? It's and I'm sure the alt-right has their own merch, which is beyond.
You guys would know this. Confirm this for me. Did Jesse Helms like say in the 90s that if Clinton comes here, like wear a vest? Did he say that?
He said if he comes down to visit,
I think it was a military base, he better wear a flak jacket or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't know it was Jesse Helms. Yeah, I remember somebody saying that. And also, you know, there were threats made against JFK before he went to Dallas, which, you know, that didn't go well.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Is
now,
that really the time for Perry?
Yesterday, Donald Trump gave a speech, and everybody was anticipating that he was going to address the Roy Moore situation. Or it was because it was billed as a very big, important speech. And, you know,
yeah, totally
suckers,
gonna
get,
address that. Sure.
suckers get played every single
Ivanka
time.
Addressed it.
But Apparently, the big story coming out of it is that he had dry mouth from whatever he was taking, the Adderall or whatever it was he was taking, gave him dry mouth, and so he had to lunge for a water bottle on multiple occasions. Now, people are sensitive to that because one of his greatest bits of all time was the Marco Rubio bit where he was making fun of him about the water. You remember that with him?
Yes.
That was amazing. I watched that about 10 times.
That's on his comedy.
Here are Fox and Friends.
So special.
trying to head it off at the pass.
And with Vietnam, we established relations there. In the Philippines, we had not had conversations because of that lunatic leader for the last 2 years. But strategically, we need
him.
And all that stuff is great. And yet, you look at the internet, and what did they focus on? They focused on when the president, after a long trip, got a little thirsty, had to pause right there. He opened up a bottle of Fiji water. Pop, it goes. He guzzles a little bit. Puts the lid back on and gets back to America is back.
It's so cute how he drinks it because he's got
What does that remind you of? Of course, so many people have said it reminds us of the night that Marco Rubio gave the response to President Obama after the State of the Union. There he is drinking out of the little Poland Spring bottle.
The best.
The president drank out of a Fiji water.
I know. And he was mocking him on the campaign trail, but then Marco Rubio got a chance to mock him or say something about him. He said, similar, but needs to work on his form. Has to be done in one single motion, and I should never leave the camera.
Going back to Kilmeade, who doesn't know what he's talking about when he's pretending to talk about the geopolitical situation. And so he was briefed, maybe, or he had a sense of what was going on, but you can tell the way he was racing through that.
No idea.
He has no idea what, and that's clear. I mean, with the Fox News, they're apolitical at best.
I felt like Trump's speech was very similar to that, too. He ran through that speech and read stuff. I'm convinced he had no idea what he was saying.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
But I was surprised at how quickly he could read.
Maybe just wanted to. It to be done.
I think that was the sense.
Ivanka actually said that there's nothing worse than being a child predator, unless you were a supervisor at one of the sweatshops that makes
right. But
her
she
clothing.
Still also didn't say she didn't support more. She didn't ask for him to step down.
No.
She just made that statement.
She just said he'll vote the right way in cutting my taxes. It's terrible that he does that.
Speaking of Roy Moore. Last night, Sean Hannity weighed in after his 24 hours. Did you hear about this? He gave Roy Moore 24 hours to answer the inconsistencies in Roy Moore's story.
His head just keeps getting, he's like a brick now. That's like a brick head. It's like thick as a brick.
Yeah, he's.
The neck and the head are now the exact same width.
Exactly. And pretty soon the neck is going to outpace the head,
yeah.
I think. But somehow, I don't know if he got his timing wrong on this. Maybe he pre-recorded his show. But two more women came out and described sexual offenses by Roy Moore, one of whom said that she was a 17-year-old high school student and got called,
he called the
office.
Now, that police person in Texas should take a tip from Roy Moore to track down the high school student through the principal's office. This is before Facebook and stuff. This is going back years before social media, and he did it.
He tracks her down at the local school.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a call from the principal, come down. He comes down. She gets on the phone. Hey, it's Roy Moore. What are you doing? And she says, I'm taking trigonometry.
Yeah, trigonometry was real hard. You want to decompress with me? You want to relax before you test?
What job did you get
off?
Can
I talk to your mother? I have to ask your permission.
I mean, I might be a Democrat, but I'm a traditionalist.
When's recess? Are you going to be on the lower field for recess? Because I know some of them are playing tag down there, but... So here is, after all this, Sean Hannity, over the 24 hours, what is Sean Hannity's verdict?
On this broadcast, I demanded answers from Judge Moore, and the judge's story broke. Just to remind you, I laid out a history. I don't rush to judgment.
No, not you, Sean.
These allegations are so serious. This should all transcend politics. Sadly, it's not, but it should. Mm. I'm never going to apologize for not rushing to judgment. The issue of presumption of innocence is important to all of us.
Pause it. How quickly do you think he is getting on his microphone this afternoon to talk about Al Franken? Do you think there's actually
everything,
like,
he just said is so absolutely provably untrue. He is all about rushing to judgment.
Of course.
I'm not going to apologize. It's actually that's in play because he's one of those guys. No apologies.
Right.
Never apologize for who you are, even if you're the biggest asshole in the whole world. This Sean Hannity has made a career out of rushing to judgment, lying, working for a lying network, being a bully, being mean. For him to sit there and pretend.
I think he could run through a cement wall today to try and get to his microphone to talk about Al Franken. The speed in which he will be on there will be astonishing. But
of us. However, these allegations are beyond disturbing and serious. I have a 16-year-old daughter. Ivanka Trump said something today. There is a special place in hell for people who prey on children.
And the Senate.
Ivanka Trump is right. There is a special place in hell for predators. That is something everyone should agree with. That should not be political. Now with Judge Moore. Unlike everyone else in the media, I went right to the source. I interviewed. I went through the Washington Post allegations methodically, point by point.
Yeah, right.
Through each and every allegation.
Pause
in the Washington.
Pause it for 1 second. By the source here, he means the alleged perpetrator.
Yeah, not the accused.
The half a dozen women who have accused him at this point.
Not that source. Right.
I went to the person
who is guilty.
Right.
Of
so
the
in other words,
predatory.
Not the source. The people that the sources were reporting on, I went to, point by point.
I went to the definitive, they're lying whores source.
Yeah, exactly.
And also you used the word methodically, which seemed uncomfortable in his mouth. It seemed, you know, because he doesn't use words.
It's
like
the second time he said it. He said it yesterday when he was teeing up the relentless questions against Moore, which involved, what do you say about this? Is that right?
Mm.
So you're saying you never had contact. Okay. Right. That was the methodical point-by-point questioning that he did that we played yesterday.
Also, I like it when they bring up their teenage daughters as a shield in this scenario. It's kind of like the pedophilia version of some of my best friends are black.
Right, exactly.
Or they do it because there is a slight... I can personalize this slightly. I mean, if I didn't have a 16-year-old daughter, I wouldn't care. But they always say it like, see, it could affect me.
Now, granted, my 16-year-old isn't a whore that harasses DAs, but hangs out at the mall trying to ruin good men's careers.
I have a 12-year-old, and if she had the opportunity to meet a district attorney, of course, keep playing this.
Imposed in that piece, and I let him respond. Shockingly, for the first time in my life, even liberals praised that interview.
Did they? I doubt that.
And for me and so many others, it is because what happened in that interview, it did raise new questions. And then came the issue of the yearbook that allegedly shows Judge Moore's message to one of his accusers. And that is why, for the sake of the people of Alabama last night, I demanded answers. They deserve them.
Mm. Yeah, he cares about Alabama.
Deserve them
so
before
much.
An election. And today, we got the answers to the questions that we asked. Let me give you Judge Roy Moore's attorney. He did a press conference and questioned the validity of the yearbook signature. He said it could be forged.
Yeah,
he demanded
wants to see it.
A forensic analysis.
Not a picture.
Well, I spoke to a forensic analyst on my radio show today, and he said they will be able to tell if the ink is fresh or not, and they will be able to look at comparisons to his handwriting then and then that yearbook and determine if it was his.
Excuse me, I have to
Wait
go talk
second.
To Alex
and so
Jones.
That's the
I have to do an Alex Jones forensic.
And so he says that answers it?
Yeah. The lawyer,
he just said that.
The lawyer made that statement. He's just going off of what the lawyer said, is they want to see the yearbook, not a picture of it. They want to see the actual yearbook and prove that the ink is this, that, and the other. So he didn't even.
But how does that answer?
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. Why are we even talking about Sean Hannity? This drives me nuts.
The thing that's so touching almost about you, Sam, is that you are a fucking pro at this. You've been dealing with these people for like over a decade, and you still have like, how could Sean Hannity be so disingenuous?
Rachel Maddow's like that too.
Take
so pie-eyed.
Minutes.
She's still disappointed when Republicans act badly.
Are you crazy?
Take 20 minutes before your show. Sit down with a producer and say, how can I make it sound like he answered these things? Like, put a little effort into it.
Sam, you're talking about Sean Hannity at Fox.
Well, he yesterday.
He doesn't need to.
Well, yesterday he made the whole show about how, like, I'm giving him 24 hours. At least you come back and say, you know what? I'm going to extend it.
So you're disappointed that Sean Hannity didn't do the right. I'm just saying, didn't become a better.
I'm just saying,
broadcaster.
Do your job well. That's all I'm saying. Do your job well, Sean Hannity. Come
on. I'm going to quote John Oliver, who said about the Fox people: "Is it possible to do your job any worse?" And the answer is no. It is not. Could you be any worse at your job? And the answer is no.
I think they're doing exactly what their job is.
Yeah, this is their job. It doesn't require any great effort. You guys are all you're.
But they're
even
bad at it, though, because they're not very bright.
They're talking down to their very bright audience.
To a challenged audience, too. But what I'm saying is there are the Greta Van Susterens and the others who fired her. She's gone. No, I know, but what I'm saying is they come across as.
Like they can't move their faces.
As educated. Do you know what I mean? Like they aren't quite as bullying and blustery as the Sean Hannity.
But I don't think that works for Fox.
No, it may not.
I think
but
for like 78-year-old racists,
they're there
company,
anyway.
They would prefer someone who's more energetic.
They have like Kruthamer, Shovelface Kruthamer on doing that kind of thing.
Oh, you mean the Crypt Keeper guy.
Like they have the Crypt Keeper on. Right. And they have other like old school guys from the early 70s come on.
Literally.
And try and... Mm.
I used to be a Democrat, and then I saw 70s. Three black guys in Copley Square at once. Fuck that. Voted for Nixon.
All right, let's...
Now I'm on Fox.
Back to Boston. Now we're in Boston.
Let's go to the phones.
That's what came to mind.
Calling from an 847 area code. You are on the Majority Report. Janine Garofalo is here with us.
This is Josh from Chicago.
Hello, Josh. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm very much looking forward to this guide to going home to your conservative friends and relatives for Thanksgiving. I was wondering if I could kick that off.
Please do.
Thank you for that, because it's good to move on from what we've been talking about and from Sean Hannity. Well, it's not so much a guide as more of a roundtable discussion.
Yes.
And as always, my answer remains the same about this, because most of my family at this point lives in Texas, and most of them are Republican. Now, some of them abstained from voting altogether, but that still doesn't do it for me, because what means is they didn't vote for one of the most qualified candidates, Hillary Clinton, as some type of statement. So that doesn't do it for me either. But for the most part, they are hardcore right-wingers, and I have no truck with it. I have no desire to indulge it. And you know, as the hurricanes hit and as climate chaos becomes more real, this is connected, by the way, that there, I find it hard to be as sympathetic to Trump people when storms hit, when there's natural disasters and they take government aid, when they take all the things they speak against, all the things they claim to be against. I just feel like that. They should use their bootstrap. You know what I mean? Like, there's a limited amount of resources, and I think an algorithm should be in play, like Verified Fan.
That's funny.
Where you vet who you give aid to.
That part
how did
you
vote?
Like Dennis
What's
Miller
your relationship
now,
to Alex Jones? What is you? How do you feel about climate? Do you not believe in climate change? Then you don't get dry clothes and a bottled water. I feel like that.
All right,
how
well,
are you going to learn?
Let's
how
let
do you learn if right. you don't pay the price?
So you were, but your overall advice is don't go home.
No. Well, yes, I don't. I wouldn't.
I'm going home, unfortunately. My ticket's booked. I can't change it.
All right,
but Josh, what's your question?
What can Janine help you with in the event that it's impossible to cancel your ticket?
I have two very conservative friends. One who thought the Ken show was a real show. Apparently.
That's a keeper,
dude. Next. Your friend is a retard.
But one voted for Trump, one didn't, but they both idolized Paul Ryan, which I find absolutely disgusting.
Well, first of all, you tell them that Paul Ryan never read The Fountainhead and or Atlas Shrugged, and he certainly didn't finish them. And I feel like Paul Ryan is indicative of a poor character, uncharitable vision of the world, and just a nasty, nasty person. And how they are your friends, I don't understand, because there's so much that separates the Trump-Paul Ryan people from reasonable people. That I don't understand how you can get past their Trump Paul Ryan support, because
it
speaks volumes about them. Well, isn't it incumbent upon them to learn how to deal with you, since you're on the right side of history?
That's what I should say, Janine.
Well, yeah, feel
there
free.
You go.
Feel free.
There you go, Josh. There's your
Josh,
answer.
Josh, I would stay away from them if I were you, though.
Either stay away or tell them that they
tell
should
them that
be.
Tell them that they are the ones they should that be need to do their due diligence and learn where you're coming from.
Appreciate the call, Josh. Good luck.
All right.
Sounds like you're going to need it, buddy.
Happy holidays.
Calling from a 310 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
What's up, Sam?
Well, maybe.
Adam from L.A.
All right. the Los Angeles it is. Hello, Adam. Janine is here. Are you heading home for
hey,
Thanksgiving?
Hello.
No, I'm actually trying to avoid everyone.
That is that. That's what I
pretty
do.
Pretty much worked out a plan.
I think it's the right
I've
thing
I've been doing
to
it for about 6 years now.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 16.
Yeah, I don't want to.
How do you?
Oh, really? Okay.
How do you swing it? What do you do?
Fake my own death.
Oh, God, it's so much easier.
Does that work every year?
Don't show up.
You know what? I have a simple solution.
Yeah, you know, double parents.
I have a simple solution. When anyone wants to make plans for the holidays, first of all, I think it's madness to fight traffic and mass transportation on the holidays. If you want to see your family, it's far nicer to go at times which aren't the holidays.
That's a good point.
For travel. But also, tell people you're going to be in the Scottish Highlands. Hang on. This is important. Tell people you're going to be in the Scottish Highlands. Two reasons. One, the specificity of it will quell the doubting Thomases. Two, there is no cell service in the Scottish Highlands. And for the most part. And also, who would doubt the veracity of that statement? I'm going to the Scottish Highlands by myself over the holidays. And
I like that a lot.
There's no cell service. And I feel like...
Is that what you told you folks?
No. They know that I'm not coming anymore. I'm saying for friends that are, that keep pushing and pushing for get-togethers where one does group meals and group dish cleanup, organize things that create anxiety in me, more anxiety than this office does, with all its wires and lighting and devices and people looking in their phones and their computers. They're not even listening to my anxiety.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Thanks for the call, Adam.
Scottish Highlands.
No problem.
Drive carefully, please. Calling from
also Gascoigne, Australia. Very, very far out of cell range.
Calling from a 631 area code. Who's this?
Hello.
Hey, you guys there?
Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
Hey, hi. This is Tim from New Paltz. How y'all doing?
Hello,
good.
Tim.
Good, how are you?
What's on your mind?
Doing good. I had two really quick points. One is when you're going to visit your incredibly conservative family members, I just like to have a small list of very uncontroversial topics to divert conversation. You know, like, what's up with whales these days?
Oh, how is that diverting? Then they'll say, what are you, a liberal who cares about whales and blah, 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 blah. Don't you think that whales and animal rights would come in? Mammal rights?
I guess I have a very different kind of conservative in my family where they're happy enough to avoid having to listen to me talk about, like, socialist market theory where they'll listen to me talk about whales instead. So, okay.
What's else
maybe
on that list?
Work for everybody.
What else is on that list? Whales and what else?
Oh, you know, like, politics in very faraway places that are not relevant to here.
Scottish
if they still want to talk about politics.
Well, it's all sort of tied together.
Politics.
It's all sort of tied together, but I'm assuming if they're conservative, they would have a conservative Brexit-y take on if we're talking about the EU and those type of politics, or they would be unsympathetic to the Syrian refugees or the Yemen famine. Yemen. And so I'm assuming,
yeah,
you know, there's
you know
no
what?
Way
it's,
around this. It all is all tied
but
together.
But you know what? It's removed enough where they don't, in my experience, they don't get personal. You know, where we can talk about that kind of in a detached, logical way, as opposed to, like, you're a dumb liberal who doesn't know anything about anything.
Well, if that's what your parents say, like, you're a dumb liberal, then why are you going home? First of all, that's a very silly thing for a parent to say to you. You're a dumb liberal.
It's not my parents. It's like weird uncles, so I don't really ever need to see them except for holidays.
Okay, yeah, but I feel like you don't ever need to see it, period. I feel like it's reached such critical mass that I have no time or inclination any longer to indulge uncles, aunts, cousins, people in my peer group, the guy at the deli. It's too important. It's crisis mode, and I feel like it's ridiculous to allow this kind of willful ignorance and mean spiritedness to keep festering. And it's always.
But I do like. I
love stuffing
I
and
like
gravy too. If that's what you're going to say.
I do like having debates with these people because, one, they're forced to be at a table with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I could look at it as I'm the victim here, but also they're forced to be at a table with me. Mm-hmm. And I can present viewpoints for the more neutral
members of my family.
And you
really think that the right-wingers take your viewpoints in?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not gonna convince an insane Alex Jones person. But the more like on the fence people, if they hear me or the leftists in the room as the reasonable, calm person who's not like spitting gravy everywhere like a fit of rage, you might actually get them on your side as opposed to like letting them control the conversation with you not being there.
I love the attitude.
That's a nice sentiment. That's a great attitude. But in my experience over the last 54 years of living, I have noticed that for the most part. People, conservatives, even people who claim to be old school Reagan type conservatives, what have you, or Bill Buckley conservatives, they are immobile, and it's very, very irritating. And I have, again, I feel like it's incumbent upon them to move towards share. You know what I mean? Like, it's always, why is it always Democrats and liberals and progressives that are forced to, it's time to hear each other and build a bridge and do all this stuff when we're not the ones destroying everything. I feel like just,
appreciate
I
know your problem is little devil.
Oh, one more thing real quick. What kind of sociopath idolizes, what kind of boring sociopath idolizes Paul Ryan?
That is the weird one.
You should come co-host my show for a day.
It's so funny how he's touted as the intellectual in the Republican Party. That is so funny.
See, we believe in cutting taxes for you.
I don't know who idolizes Paul Ryan except for a mean-spirited, kind of high school type.
Who's also boring. That's such a great point. It's so boring. At least if you want to do it, at least worship like the Kali Cartel or something.
Or Ayn Rand, who actually, it's not fair that Ayn Rand is co-opted by them, but at least I would say.
What's that?
Objectivism, Ayn Rand.
It's not fair.
It's not fair to drag her into Paul Ryan.
Really?
How do we know what she would think of Paul Ryan?
Well, she might not like him personally,
but her politics, she was also an atheist, which was important to her.
I don't think she would like those CPAC.
Ever been an asshole?
No. What I'm saying is they use God and the Republican Party as a blunt instrument. What I'm saying is she would not have appreciated that kind of, and she wouldn't have been a gay basher or any of that. What I'm saying is it is unfair.
You just like her because she smokes so much.
To drag Ayn Rand. I will drag
Ayn Rand anywhere. She is the worst. Come on.
But what I'm saying to you is, are you telling me she would sign off on those people?
She already was by the end of her career. She helped set these people's careers up.
I do not agree. How could you have foretold the anti-intellectualism?
She was a pseudo-intellectual herself. She was Greenspan's mentor.
Well, and she accepted a lot of the Leo Strauss University of Chicago School of Economics.
The business, the CEO is romantic as like Che and the Revolutionary.
She wrote these books.
And they were horrible.
All right.
I don't agree with her approach. You cannot say Atlas Shrugged and Found had horrible books, as literature goes.
203
That's me,
man.
Well, I guess you can say it, but it doesn't make it true.
Tim, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Jay?
Thank you. This is Jay.
Hello, Jay.
I'm really excited to call in because it's so rare I get to speak to somebody, you know, a really special guest on your show. And, Michael, I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed your show the other night on the Michael Brooks show, and I just get this rare opportunity to tell you today.
That's very nice. Jay's joking.
Sam just feels threatened. It's fine. Go ahead.
Yes.
Typical.
Ooh.
That's it. That's what he does.
Okay, I was going to make the joke, but I'm just kidding. I didn't like the
joke.
I thought he was being very sincere.
All right,
Jay.
This has just been such a debilitating show to listen to today. I did only mean you, Janine.
It's hard to listen to me, too. I feel like I've been loud.
Believe it or not. And I'm also kind of dispirited about this Franken stuff. Yep. That quote about forcing his tongue in her mouth is is, I think that crosses the line, definitely.
Yes, it, yes,
the
if
photograph
it happened,
is
it
just
is.
A really bad mm-hmm. joke, but the tongue in the mouth part is very creepy. So
yes,
I mean,
if,
I don't
if
know.
That happened, take, that is make, that is.
And the thing is, what do you do now?
Yeah, it's dispiriting.
I guess I Al goes and asks his folks what he's supposed to do, people in Minnesota, but what do the Democrats do? If we want to harp on...
Well, what Democrats usually do is throw people under the bus first and foremost, whereas Republicans circle the wagons. That tends to happen.
That's what... Yeah, and the thing is, if they do make an example of Franken, that doesn't give them the moral high ground with the Republicans, because the Republicans simply do not care.
That's exactly right. They double down on it.
They will wail at this guy that... You know, that Franken is the worst of the worst, and if you say, okay, we've dealt with them, they say, dealt with what? You guys are still a bunch of perverts. I mean, that's who you're dealing with Republicans. So on a practical level, it doesn't help much, but in terms of feeling good about stuff, maybe it helps a little. Well, it's up to Franken, but I really like him. I mean,
I really like him too, and like I said, I just really if it's true, that's a drag, and I that person should have contacted Al Franken after she saw the picture and logged her dismay with Al Franken, who I'm sure she could get in touch with.
No, that's the old why didn't she complain?
No. It is not why didn't she complain. She's absolutely welcome to complain, and she's absolutely welcome to complain to him. And I'm wondering if she did, and she should.
I mean, it's conceivable. Yeah. Look. I mean, it's you go on a USA tour, a USO tour. You may just want to forget it and leave it alone. But this is a moment now where people are realizing there is an opportunity to unburden themselves of this stuff. I'm not saying that it's that. I mean, I can't assess any more than what the picture shows.
So this is a person that was in Iraq. Yes.
Yeah.
So
Afghanistan.
Okay, Afghanistan, and I'm all for unburden yourself. What and there's so many other things about Iraq and Afghanistan I wish would be unburdened, and I wish we would still prosecute as we have war criminals still walking free.
Yeah, I agree with every single thing you're saying, but I just want
to
say that if it is
exclusive.
Confirmed that he did that,
be,
he needs
right?
to go.
No,
period.
They're not.
Can we just put up the apology that he posted? People are telling us he just posted a longer
I would like
apology.
To see it.
Yeah. On
the first apology was rot. But and the funny thing is the tradition of USO shows. Can you imagine the things that went on when Bob Hope was?
Oh
running
my God!
The
with Bob Hope and Playboy Bunnies and Hugh Hefner and all that stuff. And it's a good thing it wasn't a surveillance society, because now nothing goes undocumented, except for I guess collusion and ghosts are the two things we can't get on film.
All right, well, Jay, we're going to find the apology.
Wait, you
let's
it?
Hear this
you
apology. I'm
Jamie
dying
Reed?
To hear it.
I would like to hear it too, but I am.
One
I,
more thing. One more
yes,
thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Cool.
It's pretty long.
Wait, go ahead. He's saying he's speaking.
Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, my gag fell flat. I said tools.
Okay.
Oh my God! Sorry, that cut out. It didn't fall flat. That's not
that
your
was
fault.
Like the fucking box that the tools come in, kind of a joke, dude.
Why so much profanity?
I don't know.
Michael, I apologize.
That's, you
right.
heard this is the most vulgar
this
word
is the,
in the English
it's the
language.
Most. I just got psyched when I saw that segment.
It's the new hipper version of what's going on
much
today,
cooler.
People. Calling from a 929 area code. Who's this?
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Did somebody drop their phone, or is it in?
Hey, sorry.
Sorry, but
hello.
Are you getting dressed? What are you doing?
Hey, this is James from New York.
Hello, James. What's on your mind?
Hey, I had a slightly random question.
Yes.
Close the door first. We don't want anyone to hear you. Did you close the door?
Where are you working, James?
Yeah, I was in a.
Or were you in the bathroom?
Terrible sweatshop.
Okay. What's your question?
At work. But anyway, my question was,
it's kind of to the hall.
From my observation, it seems like the time that people spend online positively correlates with being right-wing, especially young males. Like if you look at YouTube comments and 4chan and that kind of stuff, seems like the more time you spend online, the more Islamophobic, misogynistic, anti-PC culture you get. And my question would be, do you agree with this assessment? If so, why do you think that is, and how do you counteract that?
I would say the more time you spend online in certain places, that that fosters that message in you. But I feel like you've got to be open to that message a little bit. There's a reason some people respond to that stuff and some people don't. I think it's both nature and nurture. Some people are born hardwired to be a certain way, and then unfortunately their environment enhances that negativity. And then there's some people who come to it, like in their teenage years, whatever, or like these alt-right guys that you see. These guys just seem like they're searching for an outlet for their just unmitigated douchebaggery. They're just garden variety bullies. But I think that there is something in some people where they just, this message feeds them, negative messages, homophobia, Islamophobia, all the stuff, and there's certainly no shortage of outlets to feed that. What's the answer to that? Gosh, I don't know. I think there should be maybe more monitoring of what people are looking at online. I don't know.
Appreciate the call.
But sorry, I couldn't be more helpful. You can open the door now.
Yeah, go back to work.
Thank you for calling, though.
For God's sakes. Matt, send me a link to it, but here it is. So Franken's full text of his apology. He starts off, I want to apologize to Leanne and everyone else who was part of that tour.
To everyone who has worked for me, for everyone I represent, and to everyone who counts on me to be an ally and supporter and champion of women.
All right, let's not read the whole thing.
There's more I want to say, but the first and most important thing is, and if it's the only thing you care to hear, that's fine, is I'm sorry.
All right, well, I've got it here. He goes on to basically says that the people have had to take a reassessment. Men, I guess, have had to look at their actions and think perhaps shamefully for the first time about how those actions affected women. For instance, the picture, I don't know what was in my head when I took that picture. It doesn't matter. There's no excuse. I look at it now and I feel disgusted with myself. It isn't funny. It's completely inappropriate. It's obvious how Leanne would feel violated by that picture. What's more, I can see how millions of other women would feel violated by it. Women who have had similar experiences in their own lives. Women who fear having those experiences, women who look up to me, women who have counted on me. Coming from the world of comedy, I've told and written a lot of jokes I once thought were funny, but later came to realize were just plain offensive. But the intentions behind my actions aren't the point at all. It's the impact these jokes had on others that matters. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to come to terms with that. While I don't remember the rehearsal for the skit as Leanne does, I understand why we need to listen and believe women's experiences. I'm asking that an ethics investigation be undertaken. I will gladly cooperate. And the truth is, what people think of me in light of this is far less important than what people think of women who continue to come forward to tell their stories. They deserve to be heard and believed, and they deserve to know that I'm their ally and supporter. I've let them down and are committed to making up to them.
See, that is the first good apology that I have heard for the least offensive thing. So good on him.
See, I like Al Franken. I really do, and I respect him. And I also, and Leanne has every right to complain, and also, but I feel like there also, how does she feel also about being used and abused and being sent over there, lied to? Do you know what I mean? Like, they're so,
well, she went over for the USO tour.
So she was not a soldier?
No.
Who is she?
She is talk show host.
Oh my God, I thought she was wearing fatigues.
Well, she was on the way back. They had the flak jacket on. Oh. And she had said that she had fallen asleep in it because they were so tired after the travel.
Well, okay, that's fine. Soldier or not, but also her opinion on Iraq and Afghanistan, her opinion on how women, by the way, are treated in the military and they're abused all the time.
All these things about her.
They're all together, though, but I feel like people seem to get really moved toward action really quick. On this.
For the first time ever, though. Really? I mean,
and it's all good. But also, let's not stop there. Let's talk about the larger issues in Afghanistan and Iraq. Let's talk about the larger issues in the military and how they treat women. Let's talk about the larger issues of how veterans are treated once they come home. But, how about that? But that's all important, too.
But yes, that's all important. But I mean, it's not like we are 2 hours away from when she wrote this.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, so it's been a good length of time, right, since they were there. There's so many things that should have upset her as well.
Well, we don't
that she
know.
Saw over there.
Well, what Sam is saying, I think, is that we can walk and expose sexual harassment and mm-hmm. war crimes at the same time.
Well, yes, and
yes,
I don't.
But we don't seem to be exposing war crimes.
We are.
It's not incumbent upon her mm-hmm. to have done anything.
I understand that. I'm just saying that, like, in all of this, and actually, this is, I was not a good guest to have today because this is clearly not fun for anybody listening. But
I
I'm just saying,
that.
Like, with all the important news going on and all the suffering that's going on domestically and internationally, that this has dominated every goddamn conversation that everybody's having in the street and everywhere when there are so many things I wish people would move toward action as well.
I guess.
In addition,
I mean,
to
but
this.
I mean,
I don't know why you're getting so hung up on
because
this.
I and also I'm getting hung up on that more shootings every goddamn day, every day. People getting shot. And if it's a white guy, then it's not terrorism, right? Every single day. And then, and guns still. Is there going to be any movement on it? Nope.
No.
I'm sorry.
Nope.
Can I just interject
open carry
really
policy
quickly?
In every campus.
I just would like to say I agree with Janine that if it's a white guy, it's not terrorism.
That's every time. It's never characterized as such in the media. I know you're joking, but I mean, that's the reality of mainstream media. If it's a white guy who did the shooting, there's no talk of terrorism. And there is still guns everywhere, yet you can't bring peanut butter, e-cigarettes, or vapes onto a school campus. But keep your guns. It's like they will move toward action on peanut butter, but not guns.
Here's Roy Moore making it. He tweets out, Al Franken admits guilt
I'm
after photographic evidence of his abuse. Mitch says, let's investigate.
Whoa.
In Alabama, zero evidence. Allegations 100% rejected. Mitch, Moore must quit immediately or be expelled. I wouldn't say zero evidence. I think probably testimony from victims is also considered evidence. All right, let's go to the phones. You're calling from a 407 area code. Janine, it's just she's sweating. She needs to take a break. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Some water?
This is Blake from Orlando.
Blake, what's on your mind?
Well, I've kind of got a unique thing. I'm a local comic down here. So
Blake is a local comic from Orlando. Yes.
Yeah, which means I'm a little fish, little pond, or whatever. But I've kind of got a unique. We had one of the guys who booked this low end room. I mean, he did shows down here and whatnot. And he actually wrote a blog post exposing himself as a sexual predator. It was crazy. It blew all of our minds. He had this blog post. He was like, Tales of a Sexual Predator. And he got, like, fired from his teaching job. He got, I mean, it was weird to me that, like, he exposed himself like that, you know, where it's, I know we have all the allegations of Louis and all that kind of, you know, shook all of us, especially, you know, guys like me who had no idea and had never met him or whatnot.
Right.
So, like, it's weird to see, like, you know, coming out, he did this like right after the Weinstein thing came out, and we were just all confused on what kind of guy would, you know, expose himself like that to like.
Well,
the,
I can understand
the general public. It was weird.
I can understand why somebody. I mean, I don't know. It's not beyond my ability to understand that maybe somebody's feeling guilty. Maybe they've, you know, come to understand that the way they were acting was wrong, and that they feel like I need to do something to, apologize in some fashion. I mean, you know, and who knows if it was, you know, I don't know. There's also like a quality that, you know, one of the things that they do in the program is, you know, you go around, you apologize to everyone that you have in any way harmed. I mean, maybe he just perceives this as his way of doing that. So I don't know.
And we always, and everybody in the community, like it was a very, we all looked at it as a very narcissistic kind of way. Cause he even through it, he still blamed himself as a victim, but,
Well, that's different. If he sees himself as the victim, I mean, then yes, I would say that's not quite an apology.
Yeah it's not. No, not really. It ended up pretty backfiring hard. I mean, he's not allowed in a lot of rooms down here. But on a little bit of a lighter note,
yeah,
I have a little bit of a character that I believe you guys should do.
Okay.
I don't know. This is a low end of me, but I was thinking
I was concerned when Bill O'Reilly got off air, not because I care about Bill O'Reilly at all, that's not, but I was afraid that we weren't going to see a lot of Dennis Miller, because I was thinking you could do a dumb, dumb left Dennis Miller.
I think Dennis Miller works lines. Straight. Oh, you got a couple lines? Okay, let's hear. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's fine. It's going to be hard for me to read my notes. Hillary Clinton gave me my notes, but they're hard to read because of the Parkinson's. I voted for Jill Stein because being a progressive voting for Hillary Clinton is like Caesar sharpening the knife that stabs him in the back.
I mean, so I appreciate offer. thank you so much for your
interest.
Right,
Blake.
We'll definitely be back in time.
All right.
Blake, thanks for the call. Appreciate
Thank you, Blake.
All right. Thanks.
All right. I think we're going to head to the fun half. We still got a lot of callers. We will take those calls. We will take some IMs. We have some more video to do. Wait a second. Well, we're gonna. Janina's is.
Peter
well, let's
Thiel
do. Let's do one more.
Call interactor.
I want to do another video here of. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, all right. Yeah, this is pretty funny. Is this funny? This Jimmy Kimmel thing.
Yeah. Oh, but Janine should get back for this. I think she'll like it.
What is it? This is Jimmy Kimmel going around doing one of those man on the streets. Asking whether or not Hillary Clinton should be impeached.
All right. Just washing my hair. A little prep here. I feel like I'm in Pakistan.
Janine doesn't have a shower.
I had no idea how hot it was in here until now. It's like I'm like having like a mirror neuron thing. I'm like, are we actually in some type of subtropical? Lights are pretty bad.
Pop the windows.
Yeah, pop the windows.
All right, let's take one more call while we're waiting. Calling from a 443 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Sam, this is Anthony from Baltimore.
Hello, Anthony from Baltimore. What's on your mind?
I wanted to call in because I've been thinking about bringing this up for a while, and I figured it's safe because probably none of my relatives listen to the show. But
okay.
On the topic of both... kind of like Christian fundamentalism as well as dealing with your family during the holidays. So do you remember back in 2015, there was a New York Times front page story that broke about a consultant for structural engineering who doctored those reports for Hurricane Sandy victims? You remember that?
No.
Yeah. So back in 2015, it was front page New York Times. So basically, there was this structural engineering consulting firm based out of North Carolina that, you know, after Hurricane Sandy, you know, they would send these structural engineers on site to assess the damage of the buildings and whatnot. And so basically the story was that, you know, they had these consultants go out and, you know, of course, assess the damage to the buildings that were, you know, obviously done by the hurricane.
Right.
And given back to the partner. And the New York Times story was that the partner was doctoring all the reports to make it say that, you know, the damage done to these homes were actually from, you know, pre-existing conditions, for lack of a better term.
Why?
So
to deny them federal funds?
Exactly. Because, I mean, they were probably getting kickbacks doing this. And okay. That partner was my cousin.
Ah.
So basically, during the holidays, I mean, I don't think there's many people in my family who... I mean, besides my immediate family who are tuned into the news, so I remember reading this back in 2015. Just
you're saying that your family members don't realize that he was implicated in that?
It's kind of like this weird thing that, like, no one talks about it, so it's hard to gauge whether or not who actually read it or didn't.
Well,
because it's kind of like
this is what I would do, Anthony. At dinner, I would say, This turkey seems like it's structurally insecure. Would anybody like to sign off on that? Just see
or
what,
just
how
say,
people react.
Is this how the turkey came to us with a pre-existing
structural issue? Problem?
And if all else, you're in Baltimore, and, right?
Are you correct? Correct.
You are. And if all else fails, just say, let's have some of those great cookies, the burgers. Are they? What's the one?
Oh, yeah,
the
burger cookies.
Burger. Oh,
I love those. Yeah.
All right, well, Anthony, that's a strange story, but good luck with that, man.
Or just don't go to dinner.
Yeah, and well, anyway, and the relevant part of it was, you know, he was originally, like, I hardly knew the guy. He lived in Boston. I've lived in Baltimore my whole life. But, like, you know, he was just kind of like this bro-y guy who grew up there who, like, I don't know, became a reformed fundamentalist Christian who, you know, apparently had, you know, the proper lack of conscience to have the ability to do this to people.
Wow. Yeah, well, you would need a lack of moral compass to do it. You would need a certain lack.
Jesus was good on a lot of things, but he also was a little dodgy when it came to doing structural integrity of buildings and whether or not they were pre-existing.
That's the acts of God clause
that
in your insurance
policy.
That
was one sort of like blind spot. Appreciate the call, Andy.
All right, bye.
Baltimore. All right. I tried it was a carpenter.
We're going to take a break. We're going to go into the fun half, do a little more of this.
Oh, there's more?
Just a little bit more.
Oh!
Why didn't you have sciatica.
I have a disc issue.
Do you remember we did a live show and you
and
had
I was
to,
on my back.
You had to literally lie on the floor.
Well, I was in Boston and Pittsfield and I went through Worcester. This is 2-3 weeks ago to do stand up and I herniated my disc again. And
just by going through Worcester.
It was Worcester, I think.
Do you
want to
stand up?
No, I'm fine. But I actually the disc popped again. But actually that was when I was in Pittsfield.
Ugh.
It's the Berkshires. Don't call it Pittsfield. It's the Berkshires. But if you haven't been to Pittsfield, Mass, you needn't. You needn't. But the theater was fun. Everybody was very, very nice. But I then had to take the train. It was going to be a long train. Then I took an hour drive to Hudson to take the train back with my disc like that. And I refuse to strengthen my core, though. That's still in play. I want everybody to know, longtime listeners, I still refuse to strengthen my core.
Her core.
Won't do it.
All right.
Won't do it.
We're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. We'll be right back after this. Just a reminder, folks, the survey is up for a couple more days, majoritysurvey.com, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate tea, coupon code, get 10% off. Also, you can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com, jointhemajorityreport.com. It is your membership that makes this show possible.
It's
not a potty.
Oh, what's it called?
Podcast award.
Oh, it's not called a potty. The actual statue.
You could call it a potty, I guess.
P-O-D-D.
A potty.
P-O-D-D-Y.
I like that.
A potty.
And also, just a reminder, apparently on the Michael Brooks show, Michael and Matt have promised that if the Patreon account gets to 1,000 people, it's at 8:15 now, they will stream a game of Wolfenstein that they intend to play, turning this into a massive Twitchy channel, would probably be like
that would be very effective,
significantly more lucrative.
And then at 5,000,
what's Wolfenstein?
And then it's a game where you kill Nazis. And then at 5,000, the Steven Seagal Lady Saw cover.
I don't even know
lots
what that
of
means.
Things.
But
Steven Seagal did a reggae song in the 90s with
one
of
and
the,
you would sing it.
And
has
I am
also
going to
been
sing
accused
it at 5K.
Of harassment, Steven Seagal. Shock of
Steven Seagal was like exposed for sexual harassment before everybody.
I know.
Was,
he was
just
he
like,
was on the ground
yeah,
floor.
Yeah, this
one.
Guy, he was an early adapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adopter. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break.
Get some heat off of you, huh?
We're going to take a quick break and head into the fun half. Remember, tomorrow we're going to start early, 11 a.m. tomorrow, 11 a.m. start on Friday. Judy Gold will be with us via phone.
Judy, tall.
Tall
drink of water.
Tall drink of water.
Tall drink of water.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.